Hi, and welcome to Any Rate, Taking On Global Research podcast, where we take a look at some of the drivers behind the biggest trends and themes across fixed income currencies and commodities markets. I'm Khyendra Gupta from the European Rate Strategy team, and I'm joined by Morten Lund, our Scandinavian economist, and James Nelligan, our FX strategist, to discuss the upcoming Norges Bank and Riksbank meetings and our views in rates and FX markets. We are recording this podcast on March 20th, and our comments today are based on our latest economics, FX, and rates publications, which is available to institutional clients at JP Morgan on our JP Morgan Markets website. Let me begin with economics and central bank views. Morten, inflation in Norway and Sweden have surprised to the downside recently. However, macro data has been relatively upbeat versus expectations. How do you think these factors will impact the central bank decisions at the March and the subsequent meetings over the coming months?
Yeah, so I do think that obviously all matters here, but inflation is the most important thing, perhaps even together with what's going on the FX market. If we start with the Riksbank, I do think that the inflation picture here looks pretty benign. Core is running below what the Riksbank has projected. We do have, on a momentum basis, core running below 2% for the past 3 months. And on top of that, we've had some of the price indicators, which the Riksbank focuses a lot on, those have kind of normalized. So we think this is more important than, you know, growth having been a little bit better than what they projected. And in this regard, I think it's also worth saying that primary reason why growth has been a bit stronger, that's more driven by the external side than the domestic side, which the members obviously tends to focus a little bit more on. So in sum, we do think that the rate path will be almost unrecognizable compared to November, where there was a high 40% probability of a hike in the first half of the year. We do think that will now turn into almost a full cut priced in for either May or June, but also a pretty high probability for them going in May. This is aligned with our forecast of them going in May. We think the dovish speak we've seen from the members of the past few weeks kind of support that. For Norges Bank, the picture there is a little bit more complex, I'd say. Yes, we've had the huge downward surprise to core inflation. And yes, part of it is driven by food prices. But it's not only about food prices. You have also seen services that have been coming out soft. On top of that, you have a much stronger trade weighted NOKI and also some positive news on wage negotiations. On the other hand, then you've had growth being stronger, oil prices being higher, and central bank support have perhaps become a little bit more hawkish, at least rates are higher. So that kind of outweighs some of the dovish news there. And the question really is, how much does the committee want to trust the inflation data here? Normally they do have pretty well defined set of how these data influence, and that suggests that should be that the rate path should go significantly, and that could be a clear dovish pivot. But we did see in December they kind of refrained from using that setup and use more judgment. So we think overall here that they will open up slightly for a June cut, but we don't think they will fully dive for it.
Okay, so just to recap, you're saying that in your view, Riksbank will start raising cycle in May and Norges Bank will start in June, although the conviction is higher for Riksbank relative to the Norges Bank. As a follow-up, how do you think the Fed and ECB policy rate trajectory will impact the Scandinavian central banks? Any follow-through on the reaction function given our revised call for the Fed to deliver a much slower pace of easing cycle relative to before and the risk of higher rates on the US?
I mean, so the Scandinavian central banks, they are obviously independent central banks, and they can deviate. We also do have that in our forecast, with for example, the Riksbank moving a little bit ahead of the ECB, which I think a lot of people didn't think so just going back 3-4 months ago. But having said that, there is probably also a limit to how much they can deviate. And a huge part of that, especially here in the short term, that is related to the FX market. Yes, the currencies are trade weighted basis a bit stronger since the last forecast meetings, but for the past couple of years, they have been very weak and been a huge cause for inflation. So we think the past few years is both bigger and greater in the Scandinavian countries. So yes, there is a bit of a limit how much they can deviate. And if we just look until the end of 2025, we do have both the Riksbank and Norges Bank putting as many times as the ECB. But I think maybe just now I've just mentioned the currency here, maybe I could just turn it to you, James, and ask why you think that the NOK here in the recent weeks have been unable to kind of take advantage of favorable moves in traditional drivers like oil and rate spreads.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Morten. So I think there's a lot of focus on the balance of payments and potential, you know, recycling of the current account abroad. So we have seen the basic balance come down from, you know, a peak of above 20% of GDP now down to kind of mid to low single digits. So I think there's focus on that potential flow at stopping NOK from taking advantage of some of the recent more favorable moves in traditional drivers. Obviously, we've seen the oil price just over the last week, you know, climb up towards $87 a barrel on Brent. And, you know, through that time, NOK has had a move from 1140 to 1160. So I think that is an ongoing concern in the market on the balance of payments side. And I think there's a different reaction function for the currencies to what the central banks are doing. You know, the housing market in Sweden is starting from a very different place to the housing market in Norway. And so I think Riksbank easing will be very welcome for Stocky, because it does help the rate sensitive sectors of the economy. Whereas the currency in Norway is a lot less able to benefit from any dovish surprise from Norges Bank. The housing market starting from a very different place. And so you see more of a conventional rate spread reaction function there for NOK. So we've actually got a tactical view on the bearish side for NOK at the moment.
Then how on the stock, how are you thinking about the currency? So currency's reaction to reaction function to the Riksbank easing.
Yeah, so hinted at that. I think there's some really interesting things going on with Stocky at the moment. What we saw in Q4 was that Stocky was very sensitive to global yields, and that kind of made sense because growth was very depressed. Obviously, Sweden was in technical recession last year, and the market really needed lower yields to kind of pull forward some growth. And that's what we got in Q4. And so Stocky was trading kind of tick for tick with global yields. What we've noticed over the last month or so is that correlation has come down. And what we think is happening is there's a bit of a handover going on from yields to growth, where you're starting to see some of the global manufacturing data pick up a little bit. Stocky, obviously, Sweden as a very open exports trade sensitive economy is quite sensitive to that. So there's a bit of a handover going on where there are some more organic growth drivers coming through now that are a bit less yield dependent themselves. And so Stocky is able to benefit from that. But at the same time, we do think, you know, as Riksbank easing approaches, should have a very different reaction function where Riksbank easing is actually good for Stocky, because the rate sensitive sectors of the economy are able to recover. What's going on right now in the short term, I think there's a bit of an anticipation of dividend flows in Stocky. So we saw Euro Stocky move up, you know, from around 11.20 last week to around 11.36 now. That's just an anticipation of some of the dividend flows, we think. So over the next 2 weeks, you've got the three largest dividend payments happening in terms of potential repatriation flows from those dividend payments abroad. I think that presents a really good opportunity to actually pick up a bullish view for Stocky as you are seeing that handover from yields to growth, like I was saying. turning to you, Kikandra, for the rates market view. What are your views on the rates market here? So do you think there's potential upside in outright duration calls given the lack of market conviction on any direction here? And what trades are you thinking about, either an individual country trade or cross market, that you find interesting here?
Yeah, you are correct in pointing that there is a lack of conviction in the direction of yield moves across DM rates universe, and that's just not a scanty story. Our client conversations suggest that clients are very biased towards long duration, but positioning appears to be on the light side given the recent washout of such long duration positions. So even though clients and ourselves included have a medium term conviction on lower yields, risk appetite we find is very low coming from our client conversations. It's also our view that, having said that, it's our view that yields are biased lower over the medium term in Scandinavia, both on an outright basis and on cross market, let's say, versus euro. Our trade recommendations also follow similar themes. We have expressed long duration view by receiving one-year STIBOR, which we entered around 2 weeks ago. Now, this position has exhibited a decent volatility, but I believe that risk reward continues to support further decline or overall much lower yield than where we stand now. The primary reason for this is the fact that the terminal rate price in the STIBOR curve is around 260 to 70 basis points, which I believe is still very high. Our expectation for neutral rates is somewhere around closer to 2%, probably a bit higher than 2%, but still closer to 2% than where we stand currently. So there is still that decent upside from being long rates STIBOR. Now, I do highlight that STIBOR yields exhibit a strong correlation to the US and the Euro counterparts, and thus uncertainty around near-term uncertainty around the rate path for the central banks can be around STIBOR yields over the term. But I do have a strong conviction over the duration of travel lower over the medium term. We have a similar bias for lower yields in Norway. But given the hawkishness and the uncertainty of the central bank over the next couple of meetings, I do have a lower conviction in that long duration trade in Norway, and therefore I remain on the sidelines on the Norwegian duration for now. You mentioned about cross market. Well, I expect, and I'm also positioned for both STIBOR and NIBOR outperformance versus EURIBOR, and we have expressed this view via receiving December 24 stock key and not FRAS versus EURIBOR, given the expectation of relative macro evolution over the coming months. Thanks, and that brings us to our end of this podcast. Thanks, Martin and James, for your time and interesting insights. Looking forward to our next podcast. To all our listeners, stay tuned for more updates on the fixed income space here on At Any Rates, JP Morgan's Global Research Podcast Series. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please read the JP Morgan Research Reports relative to its contents for more information, including important disclosures. Copyright 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on 20th of March, 2024.